We do have something that we need to say to you from time to time, and some of you have been receiving some things. It is the hour when you are supposed to receive some things, and you are receiving some things. When you speak of receiving the revelation consists of quite a number of things. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness, great is the multitude of his thoughts. And when you speak of receiving the revelation, you are talking about comprehending the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. And that means that you comprehend hell and you fathom the depths of it, and you comprehend heaven and you fathom the heights of it, and you comprehend the extensively speaking from eternity to eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. You comprehend all of the universe, and you comprehend all of the earth. You comprehend all of the planets and all of the stars. You comprehend all things. So the revelation is quite large. It's quite a lot to comprehend and quite a lot to know. And a lot of times when I say something about the revelation, people don't quite understand when I say that you don't understand. If you do comprehend all those things or whatever, then I'm mistaken. I misunderstood. You do understand. But if you do not, then it is true, as I said, that you don't understand. But there is a lot of things that you do understand, and it is given to you to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length, and all these wonderful things. For the Bible says, all things that my Father has made known unto me, Jesus said, I have made known unto you. Well, that is, they are available for you, like as the Bible said, as in God has given us all things that pertain unto life, not just part of the things, but all things. And if you do not enjoy all things that pertain unto life, whether in this world or the world to come, then that means that you've not comprehended and you've not been able to fathom, or you've not been able to use your faith. As to the degree that God intended for you to have it, and he has given an ordination that ye should move into the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, going on to perfection, that ye should be perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, which means complete. And we are complete in him, and that God has wrought all these things for us. But then the completeness is to be, go on to perfection, as to that completeness is to make manifest in your mortal genes, in your mortal body, your mortal life, this wonderful heavenly treasure, as to this wonderful knowledge of God which is on the inside of these earthen vessels, which knowledge was given to you in Christ Jesus before the world ever was, as through the works of the slain Lamb. The foreknowledge of God is to election and to perfection. And it was brought to light at Calvary to be administered to you as to the ministry down to the church ages, as to the perfecting of your faith. Fivefold minister there to reveal to you, as to the Bible saying, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. And as the child is formed within you, Paul said, through this we travail as to the ministry, that you might continually grow and grow into the wonderful knowledge of God as to that wonderful mind of Christ. For the Bible says that ye have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. So, moving on toward that, as to them that hungers and thirst, we move on. And yet you know, and I know, as well as myself and you and others, that down through the years, the church has been very careless, very unconcerned, very prone to go after the world and securities of the world and just be a religious people that come and get some inspiration to maybe shout, praise God a little bit, feel a little bit better, hear a little bit, and go home and consider that we're God's children on our way to heaven. And that's fine. I mean, that's what you want to do. That's your business. The Bible said, let every man, come and partake of the waters of life freely. Let him go on as to whatever measure he will. Let it be of his sovereignty. And as to the end of the way, God will reward him accordingly as to whether he sought to save his life here or whether he sought to save his life yonder. Seeing this and knowing this, then, as the Spirit said, I have much to say unto you, Jesus said, but seeing that you're dull of hearing, he said, I cannot. Just pray, Paul said. Having the revelation, being the overseer of the Gentile church, going on with God to such a great degree that he gave up his life altogether and eventually was caught up into the third heaven to show the capstoning, to mean that he had the fullness of the revelation. And that's why he made the statement that it is not I living but Christ. And he said, the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. And he said, they that seemed to be somewhat in conference, they had nothing to me, because he had already gone through the thing and received his diplomacy, and he was at the top. He was Christ. He was the capstone. He was there, and it was his churches that he had established during that time as to what God used for the church ages, as to the same churches. And then at the end of the way, it was Christ standing in the midst of the candlesticks, and it had been Christ there all the time. So this wonderful revelation that Paul had was broke down as to seven different dimensional steps. And it was broke down as to each, as we see these little candlesticks up here, each church age messenger. And in each age, he opened up a new well. As it was in the days of Isaac, he would open up a new well. And the Philistines and whatever would take the well, and then he would have to open another well. Has it been that way down through the years? It come, like as we say, as to one move of God, and then they stop it up, they fill it up by, we say, throwing the dirt in, or that is man, as to the worms getting in the bread, man's intellectual reasoning, or that is they crowd around it and the dust of the earth takes over. So the well is stopped up, so he just goes on. He makes a new well and a new well and a new well. And they kept on until finally the last well, they had enough. And the last well was left, and they did not bother that last well. And so there was enough for everybody. Everybody got their well, whether it was a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or whatever it was, as they down through the years, the move of God's, and they would get around it and turn it into a money machine and a social benefit. And finally, at the last, the best well was for the last. As it was said, the best wine was for the last, and the best wealth was for the last. And here we are with a new opening, the last well, and they are not taking this well. They would love to take this well, but since they're not spiritual, they can't even see this well. This is a well of water that the Bible said would be springing up out of your innermost beings, even as rivers of living water from within the throne. Which throne is within you? For out of the throne, the Bible said, there sprang forth a river of living waters. And this we could go into as to a revelation and many things to be said. But it is very evident that they cannot see this well, so they cannot confiscate, they cannot take this well. They don't know how to approach this well. So then they're leaving it alone. They cannot see this wonderful living water. For as it was asked of Jesus, why do you speak to the people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? He says, not given unto them, no, as to the mysteries of God, but unto you it's given. So we know that God has reserved something for us, and only for us. For, as Paul said, being the overseer to the Gentile churches, or going for a bride for Christ, it was said, Paul turned my people from darkness, as to intellectual reasoning, unto light, which is godly understanding, the mind of Christ, away from the old tree of knowledge, and unto the faith. Whereas the Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. Contend for this faith. Deliver them from darkness to light. Turn them from darkness to light, unto the faith, which is in me, Paul, the faith by which they're sanctified. And the Bible says concerning the tutoring that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto grace. And with this, once grace has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. It's folded up and laid away. And when we were back there as children, we spake as children, we act as children. When we became a man, we put away childish thing. And when the bar mitzvah had come, as to Calvary, then it was no longer as to the law. For the Bible said the law was as unto faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ to the perfect one by which we're sanctified. And now that faith is come, we are no longer under the bondage of the law, or we're no longer under the constraint of those things of the law as to the curse and death. And so then his faith has sanctified us all as to once and for all, and he, as to his righteousness unto obedience, has brought us out from under the bondage of death. And so today we're here in this wonderful place. It's called heaven, and we're together, and we are the family of God. So then I say again that these things are all together for us. That is, we who are spiritual, we who love God, because other people, though they hear these things and though they reflect these things, yet they will never know these things because they cannot conceive of these things. Because even though they are in the reign as to on the just and the unjust, the tare and the wheat and the blessings of God as to the mercies of God are coming down that they might hear the gospel, that all might hear the gospel, yet they're only reflectors and they cannot conceive of this because the Bible says Satan, Lucifer, the god of intellectual reasoning, as to the diplomacies of life and as to social benefits, this hath blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good comes and that they cannot comprehend. But you comprehend this light. It shines in the midst of this intellectual darkness and they cannot comprehend it, but you are children of light. So you comprehend the depths, the heights, the width, and the length as to whatever measure you allow yourself to comprehend. And as thus, so are ye throughout eternity as to the level of the heights that you obtain unto. Even as people that go through this life, the Bible speaks of some that have never known the depths of Satan. Some know deeper depths as to God, some know greater heights. So Paul said, this I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're babes, just desire the sincere milk of the word. But still the meat must be there for the strong. They who have by reasoning exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So when we come to talk with you, we come to talk with you about the wonderful things of God. And of course, it's warm, it's hot. Satan makes the body uncomfortable. He'll do anything in the world he can to make it uncomfortable, to keep you in an intellectual frame of mind. On Sunday morning, a lot of times when it's cool and it's refreshing and you've had rest, it's so easy to minister to you. Like Brother Scotty was saying, I believe it was yesterday, said, I'd love to go to church at Bethlehem on Sunday morning. There's something about it. It's refreshing. Hearts are open. You're not tired and weary. You've not given your strength as to the world. And you listen real good. And other times it makes it very difficult because some of you almost go to sleep on the bench. Some of you do go to sleep on the bench. And when it's hot, it's difficult to stay awake as to concentrating because Satan, he's going to get to you one way or another to keep you from getting this. And I notice the ones that doze and the ones that do those things, I watch them through their lifetime. And I do see that they don't get anything. All they want... It's something natural in their minds on something natural. And like I've said before, not as to a rebuke to you, but as just a little reproof, I find out that you never doze, you never go to sleep when it's money, when it's security, when it's the things of the world, or when it's a laugh and talk, it's the fellowship or whatever. But when it comes to spiritual things, you have no interest, and so you go to sleep. You just have, there's nothing there that quickens you or creates an interest. These things are proof that you do not have the Holy Spirit. And a proof that though you be a believer, yet you still haven't entered into the kingdom of God. So try your best when you come to hear the word of the Lord, to listen and to fight against the natural, and try to obtain unto the wonderful mind of God, which is called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And what is the revelation of Jesus Christ? It is the revealing, the word revelation, revealing. It is the revealing of the spirit world. The revealing of the spirit man and woman. The revealing of the spirit treasures, which are eternal treasures. Because though you be natural, yet you're only a figment of imagination as to vanity. And though you be a man and a woman, you're nothing but vanity. And though this be a world all around you with the glitter and glamour of all these things that you seek, as to prosperity, it is nothing but vanity, and it is only a reflection of the real, genuine, true world. And it will pass away, and even Jesus, when he resurrected from the dead, having his body, after he passed over that carnal mind, he just walked right through the wall because the wall was nothing but vanity. And it's only there, it's like an insane person when you are insane, whatever it is, that's what you see, that's what the world is. Nobody could tell you any different. If you see a pink elephant, it's a pink elephant. I don't care what you say, you know, as to someone. You might say to someone, this is a dog, this is a dog. He'd say, no, he's terrified because it's a pink elephant. And life is a state of mind, whether the natural life or whether it is spirit life. And what you're going through, the thing, I'm just talking with you just for a few minutes because I can tell that many of you are tired and weary and you want to listen. You've got good attitudes. And obviously I'm filled up and overflowing as always to tell you of the wonderful deep mysteries of God. But the thing is, the Spirit of God searching out the things of God, yea, the deep things. He'd like to express that. See, because God is the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. But the thing is, you being natural and you being vanity, see, you cannot lay hold on these things. The natural man does not comprehend these things. The natural man does not understand these things. The Bible said the things of God are spiritual and they are foolishness to the natural man. That's why not many mighty are called as to people of diplomacy and education and money and prestige and those things in this world. See, not many mighty are called. I won't call any names, but it's like some people that came to be with us here from out of California. Very wonderful people. We ministered to them. They never could get into the spiritual things. And I knew that, and I knew someday they would leave. And all the time they were very hostile and very deceitful and was deceiving and uprooting and working with some people to turn them against this. Whereas one came to me yesterday and again today and said, you know, I went away. Said, I realize now they call the name of a brother that I'm speaking of. Said, I realize he poisoned my mind against you, Brother Pike, and against Little Bethlehem, and finally fell away and went his way and wrecked his whole family and his life and everything else. See, and this thing as to trying to be spiritual, it really doesn't do you any good. But you have to pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. See, that man never did receive anything, and you stay here among us, that carnal mind is enmity with God. You love the things of the world. If the love of the God, love of the world's in you, the love of the Father isn't there. See, the world is inside of you, and God must take the world out of you and put the kingdom of God inside of you, which means one spirit of Lucifer as to the world, another spirit of God as to the kingdom of God, or that is the tree of knowledge or the mind of the tree of life, which is the mind of Christ. Words of spirit and of life, thoughts of spirit and of life. So then, as to your natural man, the Bible said he receiveth not the things of God. For the natural mind, the natural spirit, the natural man, the Bible said the things of God doesn't know him and they will not come to him. And that they are foolishness to him and his human reason. But to God, the Bible said, man's knowledge and diplomacies and great orators, that all of their knowledge is foolishness to God. And that he has turned them over to that foolishness because they had not a love for the truth. And he doesn't call many mighty because they are out there in the world of vanity. They are Satan's tools. They are caught in that world of vanity as to the little thing that you've heard me speak about, Cinderella, waiting for the midnight cry, and they're having all of their good times, and they don't know it's all going to turn to pumpkins. And the whole thing's going to turn into mice. The horse is going to turn into mice, and the chariots into pumpkins, and all of these other things is going to happen. Has a little story about Cinderella. When that midnight cry comes, they're going to find themselves in rags. I believe it was. And when this little sermonette went to Pat Boone, this really shook Pat up according to the communications that we had with him concerning it. See, because you can be in the glitter, you can be in the glamour, you can be in the light, you can be in all them kind of things, but after a while, it's all going to go sour over you, on you. And all these passions that you're so wild about, whether it's as to man and woman and passions or what you call love, which is just a frivolous lust, all these kind of things, after a while, they're going to be dead. Your passions are going to die because your stimulation is going to leave you, because your nerves are going to get worn and torn, and you're going to be a mess, and you're going to find out that those nerves, instead of being some exciting thing like hitting the strings on a guitar or a piano that ring out so musically and so charming, you're going to find out that it's a bitter sting like a wasp or something as these things ring out, and that it's a prison. And that the pain and misery that they're going to produce, and the insanity and all the terror and the torture, that it's going to be a prison for your soul and for your spirit. You're coming to it. You'll come to it. It takes a little time, but you'll get there. Now, so I say these as kind of a foreword because Like tonight, I would like to say many things to you, go back to an origin of a thing, try to pick it up and to bring it forward and say something that might be beneficial to you. And I'm always reluctant to get started, especially if there's any discomfort as to the body, because I know Paul said, within this body there dwelleth no good thing, O wretched man that I am. And when I know that the bodies are sitting there, and I know that them bodies as to the natural are nothing but wretched people, and their thoughts are continually evil, and they have no desire for heaven nor spiritual things nor anything else, then I'm always reluctant. And I'm trying, want to come up here to get your minds into one accord, into the Spirit of Christ, to get away from the natural and to get away from that old unredeemed body, that thing that causes all the problems, which is the worm, which is the serpent, which is the cocoon, and try to break through that and bring you to the rent veil of that metamorphosis where the spirit leaves, as Paul said, whether in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell as to that particular experience. And as to this thing, like when Brother Brown was laying on his bed, he said, I looked back and saw my body laying there, but here I was up here in heaven. See, and as to John, the voice said, come up into heaven. And in these things, I try to get your mind, to get your spirit, because God is a spirit. And then if I can do that, then that spirit will be all right. It don't matter if it's 40 days like Moses without food, if it's 80 days, or if it's 40 days like in the wilderness with Jesus or whatever. It has no effect on you because you've severed it, you've cut it, it's not there, it's gone. You're caught away. It's just like giving you a shot when you go to operate. You know, and you're going off into a sleep or whatever, you could care less. It doesn't bother you. And this, of course, is what we work for when we first come up here. Because if I don't do that, if I can't find that, if I can't locate your spirit, as to those things, as we search and try to make contact with you, then I'll get just about a third of the way. And then that thing will begin to act up as that old carnal mind, as to sitting in the seat of the scornful and finding fault and evil surmising. And that natural you, as to just your human thinking and your human reasoning, which is a resistance to God and a carnal problem to God and the enemy of God. Because they that are natural minded are taken into captivity at the will of the devil. And the only thing that I can do is get into the Spirit. Then when the Spirit comes, you get over the Jordan, over the carnal mind. The carnal mind is death. Jordan only represents the carnal mind. It's that tree of knowledge and that thing that happened to Adam and Eve. And so then we're trying to get you loose from that carnal human reasoning of your educational way of thinking or your experience in life as to that constitutional thinking, and get you over the Jordan and get you into the spiritual mind of Christ, that you might meditate in his laws day and night, and that you might walk in the Spirit continually, and that you might cast down every thought to where you don't have any more thoughts as to natural thoughts, period. And just Christ. Well, I'm going to say a few things here. I don't know how far we'll get. I don't know whether we'll even get started hardly or not. I do know that I'll be able to say some things if the Lord allows us to, a few things that might be inspirational to you. So, in this, as we go to talk with you, we will first we read this little verse here in the book of Revelation in the 3rd chapter in the 22nd verse. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, it's very evident right here in this, it is saying he that hath an ear. And if it is saying he that hath an ear, it is also evident that that means that everybody do not have an ear. For the Bible says, Jesus, when he was reproving them, being a spiritual being, he said to them, he said, having eyes, you don't see. He said, I know that you've got natural eyes, but having eyes, you see not. He said, in having ears, I know that you've got natural ears, but having ears, you don't hear. You hear not. He said, and this is fulfillment of what the prophet said. As in that day, having eyes, they'll see not. Having ears, they'll hear not. And he said, you don't understand. So then, as to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, then that means that I've got to be a minister of God. I've got to be walking in the Spirit. I've got to be born of the Spirit. I've got to be in a position to let the Spirit speak, that it might not be me. As the Bible says, they shall all be taught of God. And then out of that, you've got to be to where you'll come into this gate with thanksgiving and praise, to where you can get away from your natural mind and into the spiritual things. That's why a lot of times I say something about the singing. It's wonderful to have the singing, and you need that. to create the right atmosphere for God. But when you get so much in the flesh and so much exuberance and so much to what you call joy and all these other things, you really haven't got any God joy. You just got the flesh stirred up and you're happy and you feel good because even the devils feel good when that comes. Even Saul, when Saul would be in that sarcastic mood, when that music would come, it would cheer him up, because the evil spirit was just pressing the life out of him until everything got musical. And that evil spirit liked that, They like those kind of things. As just to the musical. When they get right in with you, it don't matter if you sing gospel lyrics or whatever. As long as you stay in that right frame of mind as to that spiritual sound or that natural sound as to that spiritual thing that is of Satan. You stay right in there with it. And he'll stay right there. You can rock and roll. You can do whatever you want to. It has even been said that when the Beatles stepped off of the plane with that thrust that they had, that people got up out of the wheelchairs and whatever as to lying signs and wonders. See, as to inspiration or whatever. And that men get excited. They've been known, even a woman maybe get excited so that the adrenaline would move in such a way that they'd pick a car up off of somebody as to a loved one, as to a wheel or something before they realized their strength and what they were doing. So inspiration and those kind of things is really something. And see, devils work off of vibrations. It's always been that devils work off of vibrations. They pick up vibrations. And they've learned to tap in on the spiritual world. In the Old Testament, God would have them killed for that because they were enchanters and there were all kind of things, wizards and whatever. See, and even when Samuel, brother, called up back there, when Saul was seeking a bewitching thing, it startled that woman when she saw Samuel come up. She said, "I see gods coming up." See, and that's what we are. We're gods. And she said, "I see gods coming up out of the earth, and I see Samuel." And she was all tore up over it. See, and you can be real religious and climb up another way and not have the garment of God and not have the great spirit of God and the wonderful things of God as to the righteousness of God, but you climb in another way and climb up another way and get into this wedding supper and you eat and you drink and in our feast of charity, you come in and yet your spots and your blemishes and your eyes are filled with adultery and you're beguiling unstable souls and you're still leading them astray with your ambition for ministering, your ambition for telling them something, and ambition and causing division and all these kind of things with your dreams and all kind of things. Like somebody had a dream as to about us up here and come up and led one of the people astray that was real steadfast here. Which they do that. They occasionally come in. As the Bible said, and they have their dreams and seek to turn my people away from God. And a brother that got carried away with this also came to me yesterday and said, "I'll tell you what," said, "that man had a dream of the devil." Said that vision was of the devil. And obviously it was, because the Bible said, "Mark them that cause division among you," and it caused division and it wrecked the man up and almost caused him to lose his life. He come pretty near losing his life. As a matter of fact, I tried to stay before God all night, one night over in the Philippine Islands, trying to talk with the Lord and trying to ask God to help him that he wouldn't die. Whereas the man now is getting turned around and wanting to come back to Bethlehem as he sees the other man and the way that he has gone into a terrible, terrible thing. And now he's all mixed up. Where's this other brother that just told me about the thing, said it's just off the devil? He just went straight over to the man, I believe yesterday or this morning, and told him, and it shook the man up. Well, anyway, I didn't mean to say all those things, because in saying all those things, I just try to orient you a little bit in what we're trying to say. But still, these things are needful that they should be said, and I don't know of anything to do, except say them as I talk with you. Trying to prepare the heart for the things of God and the Word of God. So then, the first thing to do is to remember that you are vanity. And the only way to get into these gates, as the gates of heaven, is that you start with your natural body as to praising and loving the Lord and listen to the Word and try to get into the Spirit as to the real, true, sober, sincere, godly move of God, to be still in your flesh and know that I'm God. Not to be jubilant and hollering and going on and whatever, whether it's singing or whatever, but to move in with a real godly jubilance, or to put your spirit into that realm to where the great wonderful Spirit can communicate with your spirit. And usually that is, as I say, and still kind of not majoring on the minors, these things aren't minor, but as to the message, we're still going around this way and that way to kind of explain a few things. The angel came to Elijah and baked him a cake. A lot of people say, well, I think I'll go on a 40-day fast, Brother Pike. I'll go on 70-day fast. That's good. That's fine. As a matter of me, I'm glad for it. It's fine. That's like a girl we had here. She'd go on a 21-day fast every once in a while or whatever, but nevertheless told. I said, well, prostitution is still in her life. Same way another place was at. I remember this woman, she went on a 21-day fast, whatever. Same way with a preacher. 21-day fast or more days, you know, whatever. I said, don't matter. Prostitution is still there. Whoremongering is still there. And it all came out. See, those men did not try to go on a 21-day fast. Though Daniel said, I was mourning for 21 full days before God because I was asking God, Lord, what is to befall my people? By the books as to Isaiah and whatever I know as to 70 years down in Babylon. But after this, I don't find any record. It's called the silent years there until the coming of the Lord Jesus, about 500 years. And said, what must I do? I don't know what to do. And Daniel had grown up down there and become a man, and he was concerned. Beloved, a man of God, the Spirit said to him, and sure enough, God showed him. As Daniel began to mourn before God, it took 21 full days of trying to make contact. And the angel told Daniel, said, I heard you from the first day. Said, but I couldn't break through, Daniel. I tried to get down there to you. But, said, the prince of Persia intercepted me. Because there are, as in, we say, Persia over here, the Medes over here, the Persians over here, the Babylonians over here. Over here, we've got Germany and over here. And Satan has allowed as to a great leader of whoever, whether it's Beelzebub, the prince of devils, or whoever, he has allowed one to be over this kingdom and one to be over that kingdom, and they answer to him. And when they broke down as to the kingdom where Daniel was to get through there, then this prince, the powers of the air, he came against them. And the angels could not get down there to Daniel, but he just kept holding on in prayer. Kept holding on. God hears our prayer at the very beginning. And he kept holding on until finally the angels returned, went back, got reinforcement come, and then the battle was on like the book of Revelation speaks of in Revelation 12, and there was a great war in heaven, and this had to do with the days of Daniel if we had time to bring the revelation out and you had time to listen. But anyway, in this great war in heaven, and finally they broke through, and they went down there, and this great wonderful angel communicated with Daniel and began to tell him of the things that was to happen in the last days that would befall his people. Same way with Elijah. The angel came down and said, Elijah, I better bake you a cake. You're going to have something to eat because you've got a long journey. So he baked him a cake. Elijah ate, and then all of a sudden, the angel come back and said, I better bake you another one. You better eat again. So this is a long, long journey, and you're going to need the strength. So Elijah wasn't trying to go on a 40-day fast. It just took him 40 days to go from where he was at over to the cave where he was to communicate with God. And the Lord has those things planned as to a numerical order, as to the wilderness wandering 40 years, as to the 40-day fast, as to Jesus 40 days in the wilderness. He plans all those things, but we're just following the leadership of the Spirit of the Lord when we do those things. Moses up on the mountain, he wasn't trying to fast 80 days. He went up there to talk with God. It took him 40 days for God to finish. Come back down, they broke the covenant. He had to go back again for another 40 days to get a new covenant. So here we find as going on over to the cave when Elijah had eaten his two cakes. When he got there, the mountain burned with fire, but God wasn't in it. The wind hit the mountain and just tore the rocks up, but God wasn't in it. All these great, tremendous hopping and jumping and shouting and leaping and crying. And even as in the days of Elijah, when those prophets of Baal, Baal means God of the flesh, they in the flesh jumped and hollered and cut themselves and done all kinds of things. But at the time of the evening sacrifice, it was said, there at that time, now, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he can't hear you. Maybe he's on a long journey. And Elijah mocked them because Elijah made no move until the Spirit of the Lord led him. And at the evening time, the Spirit of God touched Elijah as if to say, now, Elijah, it's the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, if you'll do what I tell you, walk in the Spirit now. And if you'll do everything I tell you, as to the stones, as to the water, and the many things that we've said concerning this great sacrifice. Now, when you call, fire will come down out of heaven just like that. And so it was at the evening time sacrifice. After they've done all they wanted to do, then Elijah went forth. followed the Spirit of God and walked in the Spirit and laid everything just as accurate to the line, just the right time of day. And then he said, oh God, and down came the fire, and phew, away went the water, the stones, everything. And I made the statement, you know, they've called for the rapture, they've called for the translation, they've called for everything, and they've jumped and hollered and screamed and been charismatic and whatever. But folks, now we're approaching the evening sacrifice. We're approaching the evening time. And everything is just right as to them that love the Lord and the sons of God that are walking in the Spirit. And something is going to happen. Oh, somebody says no. It ain't a matter of your mind or what you think or whether it will or whether you think I'm right. It has nothing to do with it. I don't even have time to dispute with your mind. It has nothing to do with it. You're just all far off and don't understand. It's all, you're just short-sighted. It'll happen exactly that way. Everything is just right and everything is moving just right for it to come to pass. And somebody would say, well, I don't believe it. That's fine with me. You know, you're an unbeliever. That means that you couldn't possibly see it. You don't know nothing about it. But it'll happen just exactly the way that it is said. Like the songwriter said when he wrote the song, and it happened just like he said. There won't be no shortcomings. It'll happen that way. So tonight I feel some spirits very, very aggravating to me out of some of you. And ordinarily I'd say over here and over there and you and him and her and whatever. But I told you that I was kind of getting a little disgusted with that, and I'd rather just let you be what you are. After the camp meeting, the revelation comes, let him that is just be just still, let him that is unjust be unjust still, him that is surmising, let him just go on with his evil surmising, him that's in unbelief, let him remain in his unbelief, and he that loves the Lord is to a humility, a real genuine thing, that don't sit on the seat of the scornful, let him come right on in and enter into the gates, and so then just let the rest go their way. The Bible said, them that are appointed to the sword, let them go to the sword. Them that are appointed to the famine, let them go to the famine. Them that are appointed to the death, let them go into death. Them that are appointed unto God, into the things of God, into the heavenly things, so let them go in. And that's where we're at today. So I'm not even going to bother with you about it. I'm just going to let you go right on your way, because after that camp meeting, if you've done that, that means that you're not going to make it anyway, and that means that you didn't get in, and it's no need of me bothering with you anymore. I'm going to say this as to the few, and the Bible said to be few that find this. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few that be that find it. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall be religious and tried, but shall not be able to get in. And the rain being on the unjust, those tares will still perish. Though they be religiously jubilant and all these kind of things, and have all the blessings of the natural things of life, still they will not make it into the kingdom of God. As I said the other night, coming in, not into the interior, but just into the edge of this thing, as we say, far enough along to get under a little shelter and have their eyes open as to know what's right and wrong. So in this, as a matter of fact, I feel something tonight, even from a woman that I was just telling my wife today. I said, that woman ain't right with the Lord. Though she's supposed to be one of our leading ladies and supposed to be right. I said, but I saw in a vision the other night, and just as a spirit that I pick up from her from time to time, as to the carnality, I saw her very huffy and very puffy. And like a mean old spirit, you know, just out of source, just for a woman, let alone a Christian. But anyway, we're not going to say anything as to where she's located or whatever. We're just going to let her live with it. One thing that we need to understand is to let the Spirit speak to you. And I might lay a little groundwork for a sermon that I want to preach. So I'll just say a few little things to you that some of them I set down in the printing room today over in the late evening. Now, when we think about sin as just bothering the gospel to my children, though what we say one to all. You're judged accordingly. Paul said, judge by the things that we say in the secrets of your heart. When we think about sin as going back to the origin, which a lot of people, they never do that. They never think of anything. They're just kind of at a position and place in life where they don't know what's back there or what's ahead or whatever. They don't even try hard enough to know. They're just drifting along and eating and drinking as of today, and that's good enough for them. Which is a poor means of life, because it soon runs out. And if they can gullibly satisfy their flesh with passions or desire or what they call love, which is lust, to tear up and to wreck and to just selfishly as to their old gullible way of life, no matter who's hurting or whatever, you know, they aren't going to do it because they could care less about God in that they care less about His body and people. And what you do to these, you do it to God. What you fail to do, you fail to do it to God. He'll be judged accordingly. And so they don't know very much. They don't understand very much because they've never tried to learn anything. There's people that try to go to college and they endure long hours of suffering. They work on jobs to make money that they might pay the tuition. And they come out with a diplomacy in life and they become people in life that are very outstanding as to professional men, and they have great lives and fine automobiles and homes and mansions and whatever. And that's the thing to do in the world. If you're going to be in the world, Jesus said, make yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon, which means money, that they might receive you into everlasting habitation when God rejects you. So that's the thing to do, is to the world of Esau. Get all of that you can. Be like Elvis Presley. Be just as gullible with passions and whatever as you can. If that's what you're going to do, for he said, I would that you were hot or cold. And don't get religious. You'll get spewed out of his mouth. And if you're out there just cold, he'll let you go until the dart strikes through the liver. Now, so they don't know anything. They don't try to learn anything. They don't know anything. But then there's others, as I say, that have the diplomacies. And they want to know something. So then that means it's allegoric as to the spiritual things. It's the same way in the spirit. Some just religiously floating along. Just kind of coasting along. They don't have any drive for fasting, for praying, or whatever. They eat, they drink, they buy, they sell, they work on a job. They just want something to eat, feed their families, and they could care less about spiritual things. They come to church and they hope the preacher will say something that might be of interest. And if not, if they can't get it, then they get bored with it. They hope the service will soon be over. And so they do whatever, as it was in the days of Moses, when they say, Aaron, look, build us a golden calf. Let us have something, you know, let's have a ball game in this thing or a social party. Or bring something in here if it ain't nothing but a pool table and let us have some kind of interest. Maybe a television show or something. And so it goes on. And when the time comes and the judgment comes and they're cut off, and they have to swallow it down. It's a bitter thing. But on the other hand, there are those that really drive, that really try. They want to serve the Lord. They're interested. They give up their frame of mind. They give up their way of life. They give up their old ugly disposition as being carnal and just religious as to formalities and as to hypocrisy. They take on a God spirit, a real holy spirit, a real pure spirit. Paul said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. If anything be lovely, anything be pure, let this be the constitution as to your mind, as to your thoughts. Because you have to create the right atmosphere for God to move. And it has to be a virtuous atmosphere, where Satan is stealing all the virtue from the earth, everywhere in every way, man and woman alike. So we see that some people are just complacent, and that's all there is to it. And the preachers have just gotten to where they don't care anymore. You know, as long as they got a salary, a place to stay, prestige, people accept them. A lot of people come to church. They get to talk a few minutes, whatever. They take the offerings, the tithes. And it's, well, you know, so what? He said, well, aren't you going to tell the people anything? They ain't going to listen to me. I've been trying to tell them years ago. Well, what are you going to do? I said, let them do whatever they want to do. Thing, I got to have a living. And they sent me over here to pastor this church. Well, that's bad, folks. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy that publishes peace, seeing there's a risen Savior, there's a hope, a resurrection. So they drift along and they laugh and they talk and they joke and they just blend in with the people and they do whatever they want to. And that's it. But in the day of judgment, they're going to have to be judged because they're letting the wolves come in and literally devour the people. They're coming in just literally devouring the people, especially the little ones. Little girls, little boys are ravished as to the natural to show the spiritual ravishing of the unconcerned. And the look was kind of a way as to the people that love the filth and the things of the world and the dope addicts. As the woman that was watching the television a few days ago, I believe around Atlanta, Georgia, wherever it was, I can't remember. But anyway, she was sitting there watching and she let a little baby starve to death. They found it starved. It laid there until it began to have a stench. And they went in and found it. As to that condition is in the church. As to that condition is the preachers. As to that condition is the parents of the church. As to that condition, as to this adulterous, dope generation, that's the way the church in general is as to the church world. And they are doped up with every wind of doctrine, with their own ideology, with that something, somebody that's peddling to them, that's right there in their own midst, leading people astray after them, and brothers and sisters intermingling as to with one another, spiritually speaking, because somebody thinks he's got a ministry and he wants to show what he knows, and he's just, it's a ravishing, it's an adulterous, it's a filthy, it's an unclean thing. And the whole families of the church world is mixed up. It's the blind leading the blind. Jesus said they all fall into the ditch. There's the halt, there's the lame, there's the blind. There is the chronic cases. And they're not being tended to. They're not being looked after. Nobody's helping them. And it's just a terrible, terrible situation. But all we have to give an account for it. All of you have to give an account for it. As it was said concerning Jacob, everyone that was lost as to his little ewe lambs and the different ones, he had to give an account to Laban for it. So here we are, and we don't apply ourselves, so we don't know. We don't make any efforts, so we don't know. But we're told to give the more diligence and to take heed how we hear and to seek the kingdom of God first. And we're told to be fervent in our efforts and toward God. And that day and night we should meditate in his laws. And that day and night is the early church coming together, even wherever, seeking the Lord, laying aside everything. Pooling our efforts as they did, pooling our finance, pooling everything. But not us. One will do it, but then there's Ananias and Sapphira. They're going to do whatever they want to. They're going to drop it enough to be hypocritical, and they're going to hold back the rest of it as to their strength, as to their mind, as to their effort, as to their finance, or whatever. And in the end, the dart's going to strike through the liver. So, this is the general condition of today. Vomit. All of my tables are filled with vomit. Lukewarm. Stand at the door. Won't go in. Hindering everybody else. So, he said, I've spewed you out of my mouth. I would that you'd have stayed out in the world and never learned about me. Oh, that the blood might take care of you at least down to the end time. And, or I would that you would come on in and be fervent, really burning in the spirit, so you could be a light to me and that God could work through you and he could use your body as an instrumentality as to evangelize and reach the world. Well, just talking about one or two little things here, as leaving the conditions now for just a moment. All down here at the end time now. People, when we think about sin, we don't even know what sin is. We don't even know how sin got started. We don't even know where it come from. We can't figure out why God ever let it be here. And we blame God with everything that happens because he's God. He could do something about it. And we're so blind and so wretched and so selfish because the same devil that's in us as a people, if we're allowed to be there, that's blaming God, is the same devil that used us as a people if Satan be there. To do these wretched, ungodly, filthy things is called the filth of the flesh. And we do nothing about it. When the God that made us did everything as to the extent of putting us in the garden, making us what we ought to be, folks, as the right things. And just talking to you for just a few minutes here. Trying to do everything that he can to help us. And there in the garden, he gave us everything that we needed. He gave us life. He gave the abundance of living. He done all that could be done for us. And then we, as through human beings, death coming by man, we made a mess of it. And then coming down in a human form as to God personified in the body of Jesus Christ, again he made his effort by giving the blood out of his veins and going through suffering, living in a cave, doing everything he could from the time he was a young man right on through his lifetime, trying to help us, being accused by that wretched devil that lives in the human mind as to the acquisition of that old carnal lust and lasciviousness of life. Always attacking, always resenting, always finding fault, always a resistance against the Holy Spirit and the man of God and the Word of God. See, and he went by the whipping post and he went to Calvary. He went through all this thing again as he was intimidated and all those things happened to him. Yet he opened not his mouth. He went right on for your sakes. Grieved because of the hardness of their heart. And they've done that to God Almighty who created them. So then Jesus said, don't be surprised as to you ministers or you people that love God that they do these things to you if they've done that to God Almighty. He said the very thoughts of their hearts are continually evil. So in this, We understand where we're coming from, where we are, and where we're going. So some people, they don't make any effort to know. But there is something as to the origin of sin. There is something as to what is sin and where it came from and who started it. And there is something as to the origin of Satan and Lucifer, as to the thing, as to where this thing sprang from, as to the root of it. And you would say, Brother Pike, I would like to know that. And I know you would. But see, that's unfair that you would want to know that and still resent the minister and still resent God, still resent righteousness, still resent reproof, still resent the fact that you've got to submit and follow leadership, but still wanting the things of God, still wanting to go the route to where you know all these things. Satan wants to know that. That's still your intellectual, carnal resistance in God and your gullible desire for the things of God, that you might misuse the things of God. But nevertheless, we say these things, and many of you reflect them, and you'll never understand them. For the Bible said the wicked shall not understand because they cannot comprehend this light, even if it said it's only reflection. But you that are sincere, you that love God, even babes such as are willing to learn, that love the Lord, that want to do right. You know, folks, we need a revival in the land. And as I was telling my Susan today, I said, we do not need a revival of a charismatic move. We do not need a revival of a denominational move. We do not need a revival of singing and clapping the hands and hollering and going on and all the things that we do through life. I said we need a revival of holiness. We need a move of God called holiness. We need a move of God through the land, not as to try to get a revelation to find out these things, but as I preach to you to be holy in body and in spirit, which you don't want to do and which you don't want to submit to and which you don't want to conform to, even as to leadership that we might present you without spot before God, to get away from your carnal reasoning and have the mind of holiness. See, and holiness to the world is a word that's dirty. To them, that's a word, holy, holiness. Oh, no, I'm a Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. I'm whatever. I'm Church of God. I am UPC. I'm whatever. I am Catholic, but I am no holiness. And yet I say that is such an act of ignorance on people's part, because even the Pope himself is called His Holiness. He hath enough understanding to know that that is the top. That is the very capstone of all of it, which is a lie. He's not His Holiness. But the thing is, He takes the place as vicarius filii Dei, meaning instead of Christ. So even He knows that. But we need a move of holiness. Someone would say, Brother Pike, what has holiness got to do with it? Well, the Bible said without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. So that's one thing it's got to do with it. That if we don't have holiness, all the churches don't do any good. All the preachers don't do any good. And if we don't have holiness, then we don't have any churches. We don't have any Christian. We don't have any people. And if we don't have holiness, in that holiness is the spirit of life and God is the spirit of holiness, then that means we don't have any life. We don't have any world. Because it was holiness that created the world. It was holiness that is our breath of life. It is holiness. And someone would say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean that even in the Old Testament, it was said even unto the high priest, don't come into my presence unless across the mitre you got holiness unto the Lord. It is said as to concerning the millennium that is yet to come. If somebody says that's the past, yet to come as to the millennium. When it comes to the millennium, it is said that in the millennium, that the pots and pans, when the ladies go to cook the meals, someone would say, Brother Pike, you mean they're going to cook? They're going to have fire? They're going to have stoves? They're going to cook in the millennium? Sure, it's this world. It's the restoration. There's nothing different about it except the curse is going to be gone. The bride is going to be gone. You'll have roses without thorns. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. It'll be a wonderful time. And the Spirit of the Lord will come down, as I was going to try to bring out tonight, as concerning the garden. And it'd be such a wonderful illumination. Maybe one night we can bring it out. But there, when they go to cook their meals, the Bible said for 1,000 years it'll have holiness unto the Lord on the pots, holiness unto the Lord on the pans. And when you go out to the stable to get your horse or your mule, will they be there? Oh, yes. And the Bible said the lion will be there, and the bear shall be there, and the cockatrice shall be there. And the child shall sit down on the cockatrice's den. He won't be getting bit. There won't be no poison. And the lion and the ox shall lay down together. Both of them will eat straw together. They won't fight with each other because God didn't make them to do that. It's just Lucifer that causes all this evil surmising between the congregation and the pastor, between brother and sister, and this lust and this covetousness and this ugliness and this filth of the flesh and all these other things as to gullible desires, as to money and whatever. And he said, in 1,000 years, nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. See, so what we need is a move of holiness. Why is that? To bring holiness unto the Lord. That's why on our litter tour we put holiness unto the Lord. That's why on the little gateway out here we got holiness unto the Lord. The original statement was holiness to the Lord. So we say holiness to the Lord, or unto the Lord, as later it is brought out. So then, we are looking for God, His holiness, the spirit of life, the spirit of tranquility, the spirit of peace, the spirit of virtue, the spirit of pureness. And the unclean spirit of Satan, he fights that constantly. And he infiltrates the body. And while Christ within us is to those that are born again, fight against our outer man is to the flesh. Through this man of subduing him and cleaning him up, fights those people out there that are the body of Satan that's given to the flesh, as to the war between the spiritual man and between that one which is out there. You know, I cannot go into the things I'd like to go into. As I said, I'm getting ready to close now. But I would like to drop this in the way of faith. You know, we misunderstand and misconstrue when it comes to faith. And we find ourselves with all kind of thoughts about faith. All kind of thoughts of how to get born again. All kind of thoughts as to the way to please God, to live what we call a Christian life. Whereas I've told you so many times that in all of these things, it's not by power. It's not by might, whether you see miracles or you don't see miracles. It is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And through these things, the real, genuine miracles of God come. The real, genuine faith comes. And these other things, just like the Beatles coming off of the plane, people jumping out of wheelchairs, and inspiration as to the adrenaline and the muscles and all these kind of things, or the strength. See, all those things, that is something that stimulation does and vibrations does. And as to the body's phenomenon side of life produces. But when the great wonderful spirit moves through you, things happen. And they're not lying signs and wonders. They're not lying miracles. They're something that the great spirit of God is doing. And with the tangible side of life, as to the vibrations that you live by, as to those nerves conducting to the brain, or whether it's ears or whatever it might be, as to your human senses, as to the beast life. See, you are a bond child when you are in control, or that is in control of you, or you are in a place that you're controlled by that. And you have to have another inspiration. And to go into this, to talk about these kind of things, I have to go back to the garden. It takes a while to get into it, a long while, to be able to expound these things and to bring across these kind of things, to be able to see what is the real move of God and what is the real origin of sin and all these kind of things. But I'm just making a little statement concerning faith and the misunderstanding of what we are, who we are, where we're at, or how we believe, just in a little kind of compound approach. First of all, we have to remember, as I said to them today down in the printing room, that we are a spiritual being on the inside, as to an angelic being living in a little house of clay made out of the dust, as to a person that has become intellectually indoctrinated through a fall from an illuminated image of Christ down to a beast level, of which he was made to start with out of the dust. And I wish we had time to comment to make this clear. And thus you are in prison because of that. Your spirit is in prison. The Bible said Jesus went into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison, which was down in the natural heart of the earth. But at the same time, the great, wonderful Holy Spirit coming into the heart of this physical frame of dust. See, because you are imprisoned as to your human senses that relates to the natural things of life, and you thrive off of those things, and you eat and exist by means of those appetites of the human senses. So the precious soul is on the inside. It is imprisoned, and it can't get loose. And Satan, being interwoven even from the fall as to the birth, then all die because that soul remains there, unless the divine act of God is that the Lord can go into your innermost being as to the holies of holies, that is in the very life of the blood. See, to loose the soul and the life that is in prison, killing the beast to allow the blood to be spilt as to the spirit going back to God, body, soul, spirit. And the many things that we'd have to say as to those things, many, many things, as to the first, second, third heaven, and as to the witnesses of the earth and heaven, and as to the transitional period of time coming down from the garden over to Calvary, even unto your time. So in this, we know that we misunderstand. I plead with God, and I beg God, and I fast, and I pray. And I say, Lord, please heal me. Lord, please bless me. God, please do something for me. And that's wonderful and that's good, and we need to. But folks, that isn't the way it works at all. Somebody says, well, I went on a fast and God is going to make me a great prophet. And I'm going to become a great prophet. And I went on a 40-day fast and I grow myself a beard. All that's childish. That's childish. You're slap out of your reasoning. You can't make yourself a preacher. You can't make yourself a prophet. You can't make yourself nothing. This is a calling that's given in Christ before the world ever was. It doesn't matter how much you go to college. It doesn't matter how much you fast or how many days you fast. It doesn't matter if you get up and scream at the people. If you draw 10 million people, you're still not a preacher. You're still not a prophet. You've done exactly nothing. It's like I was speaking of Billy Graham. I think now Billy at his age has went across the world. He's had denominations and denominations and denominations. He spent, like at the Washington for Jesus, 18 months they spent getting all kind of denominations until they had a crowd that swelled clear out of bounds. And Billy has done that all over the world to get them to back him and these other ministers on broadcast and televisions and whatever. See, but now Billy at his final age when we said he was going out, now he's got, I believe, what they call Parker's disease. You know, and it's setting on him. Whereas all the lights are going out. See, and the Gentile age is over. And Billy, he indicates the end of that thing. See, you haven't done anything. Jesus said you compass land and sea with all of your great exuberance to make a proselyte twofold more the child of hell than yourself. And so then we have a misunderstanding. We have the wrong approach. He that calleth upon the name of the Lord, we exuberantly declare, shall be saved. And the multitudes come. And they join the church. And they say things. Then comes the real truth and says, but the Bible said line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. Not every one that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So, we find all of these things, folks, and then we misunderstand. Somebody said, I'm confused. But there's no confusion to the elect. The Bible said the righteous will understand. Only those that are not called and those that are not foreordained, these are the confused. These are those that don't understand. These that don't have the right motive. And whatever they got, whether it be for the ministry or whether it be for their own individual way of life, they still wouldn't understand. And they misuse it because Satan is the spirit of misuse. Well, anyway, wanting to say something tonight about faith is what I would like to say. As to the way it really is, we don't have time to say it. We took up our time here talking to you and seeing whatever. And though you have a good spirit of listening, though you would sit there and listen, I'm sure, and though you're trying to get into it and trying to be a good audience, yet in all the talking that I've done here and the things I said, which was needful, still at the same time, we've got some things over to you that you need to think on. And like the cow that chews the cud, eaten and goes away and sits down to ponder as to find out the revelation and the meaning as it chews the cud and then digest is what it has picked up. So we've said these things to you here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He that hath eyes, let him see, as Jesus said, always the things the Father does. And my Father works as to the Spirit hitherto, and I work. But in these things, I would like to say something. When we get a chance, maybe you're a little fresher, things are going a little better, I'd like to say some things as to try to explain the mix-up as to the concept of faith and how that God has so wonderfully helped you and you don't understand. But let's stand together. Let's sing a little chorus. I'm having, as of late, people that have been in and out here for 20 years. And they're coming to me as them that was positive that they knew. And they're right out admitting, even as somebody today, that has tried the care of the ministry, tried to do things, has traveled all around, even made themselves a name among the people. Said, Brother Pike, I've absolutely failed. I have miserably failed. And said, I did not know what this was about. Didn't understand. But I'm wanting to. And I'm sorry. See, whereas I understand God is merciful and gracious. But even way back before, long before this, I told you that that would happen. And numbers of them are doing it. Numbers of them are doing it. But let's give the more earnest heed as to at least pick up the crumbs, to gather the fragments, that nothing be lost. Because this is a wonderful salvation. God is a wonderful God. And he's doing a marvelous thing in the earth and in the hearts of the true believer. And it's up to us to make our lives holy and pure and godly, to be holy in body and in spirit, and to receive this wonderful mind of Christ Jesus. Let's sing together. Just think now, 20 years we've been trying to tell some of you, but you've been so busy that 20 years is gone, that 10 years is gone, that 5 years is gone, and those things constantly, you know, and all of a sudden you look and think, my God, you know, school is over, everything is past, and I still didn't get it. I still don't understand. Where is it all at? I thought I knew so much. But my God, I must have reflected it. I can't recall those things. I can't remember those things. Where are all those beautiful treasures that I thought I had? What happened to all of these? Surely they must be in my memory bank somewhere. But as a consequence of our faults and negligence, we go to look for it and we can't call it up on the computer. Something's gone wrong, folks. It's like I tell Chuck sometimes. I say, Chuck, be sure to get a hard disk. Get something, somewhere. Store this stuff away. It's on the computer. It won't do no good if the lightning hits it. If it all gets erased, it won't do no good. You've got to have something as to store it and then put it away. And that's the protection as to the memory bank. So we sing this little song together. Let's sing. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. Lord, my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Precious Savior, sweep over my soul. Far we've anchored, have we really anchored our soul? Have we really anchored it? The Bible said it's a good thing that you be established in the present day truth. Have you really anchored your soul in Christ? Or have you failed to anchor in Christ? And you've anchored somewhere where the winds is just going to blow you about, being tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Or have you anchored in the truth? It's a good thing that the heart be established in the present day truth. There is a truth. And no matter what anybody tells you about the past, as to whether it's over or whether it isn't over, or there's nobody coming or everybody that's going to come has already been, don't pay any attention to it, because there's always a present day truth. And the Bible speaks of being anchored in the present day truth. And it's not you that speaketh, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you. If you then have a mind of covetousness, of jealousness, of resentment, does not that prove that you are a beast and that you are not a son of God? Can a son of God resent God and resent the leaders of God and the things of God and the voice of God and them that God has sent? Can they? No, the sons of God can't do that. But the beast does do that. That's the carnal mind of resistance. And that is the beast. And why we should be so sure that we're trying to find out whether we're a beast or whether we're not, in that the Bible said, try to do these things to make your calling and election sure, and examine yourself and see if you're in the faith as to the word of truth. See, why we should be doing that, we're so self-confident, so sure that everything is all right, and that we are a son of God, and that God is filled with mercy. And all this mercy that's poured out, it proves that that's what we are, because we know that we're here and we're there and he's with us and he's everywhere. But still at the same time, the Bible does say it is on the tare, it is on the wheat, and it is on all of the earth. It is poured out upon all flesh. It does say that. So you don't have any proof at all that you're not a beast. See, that's why it's so necessary to try to spend all of your time in meditation, in thought, in surrender, in subjection, in obedience, in coming to the root of humility, to make your calling and election sure, and to find out if you are the elect of God. And if you are the elect of God, these things as to the fruits of the Spirit, as to the nature of Christ, will show in you and that you are partakers of his divine nature. And when these things come forth, the Bible teaches that you can never fall. He that doeth these things shall never fall. So let's sing again. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. The altars are open. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. You know the Lord is so near to you. We think he's so far away. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring him down, or who shall descend into the earth to bring him up. He is nigh you. Nigh you, and the kingdom of God is near. Some people say, well, God is just so supernatural, so far away, such a great spiritual thing. I cannot get near him. But it was like today when Betty and I was riding around. Susie was in the car with us, and we drove up to Breedlove's, as to the insurance office there. And Mr. Breedlove, I think, was wanting to come out and talk with us and visit with us some, but found that we were kind of in a hurry. So while I was sitting there, you know, as we go along from day to day or time to time, fast a meal or fast a day or a little bit or a few days or whatever, try to stay in tune with the Lord, to walk in the Spirit, trying to pray a little bit. And it was getting on 12, 2 o'clock. Moving on around, well, I was getting a little bit hungry. And my wife and him wanted me to go eat with them. So I said, okay. And while Susie was in there taking care of some business she had to take care of, I said and I prayed. They kept asking me, where shall we go? Where shall we go? Well, ain't too many places around Monroe to really get a meal and get steak and all kind of, you know, knickknacks. But to get just a regular home-cooked meal is hardly a place. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I said, I try to walk with you. I love you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be with you through the night. I want to be with you through the day.
I want you to make my decisions as always as to the place I go eat, or what I should eat, or when I should eat, or who I should be with, or wherever you want me to go at whatever time. And that my steps be ordered to you. And I said, I don't know where to go. I said, tell me where to go. Send me where you want me to go. So when Susie came back, Betty and I, they started again as to where to go. Then after a little bit, I mentioned to them, I said, well, there's a place that comes to me that I stopped there one time before. I remember being there. And I said, I don't know what kind of food they've got, but since there's hardly any place to get any food, I said, let's just, you know, we could go down there. So Betty, she set out to go down there. She was driving. We went down there, and when we got there, it's a little place called, what is it, Chuck Wagon? Maybe that's something like that, wherever it was. And we went in, and some things began to transpire. We won't take up the time to tell the different things that happened, but in just a few minutes, I knew that God had sent us there. Betty knew that God had sent us there. Susie knew that God had sent us there. And there was a girl that walked over to the table, was just starved out for fellowship. And then a mother. And finally, conversation as to whatever. And the women folk talked a little. And the girl was wanting to know about camp meeting and had wanted to come to camp meeting and had wanted to come to the church. But she said, I just feel kind of odd and strange and embarrassed, you know, coming by myself. And you know, I won't go into all of it, but it was amazing how that it had to do with little Bethlehem, had to do with the church, and had to do with the people, and how that God had so graciously, so considerately looked in that direction and done what I'd asked him to do. See, he is so nigh you. He is so near you. You say, Lord, do something for me. Lord, heal me. Lord, save me. Lord, provide for me. Lord, direct my steps. The Bible said, acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path. And all of his paths are peace. And they that follow God are peacemakers. And the wisdom that cometh down from heaven from God is first peaceably and easily to be entreated. As to know when he's talking to you and when he is not. As to when Satan talks, as with trouble and confusion. And there we were, right in the will of God. Just because I'd whispered a prayer. If the Lord so quickly, if the Lord so assuredly, if the Lord so willingly led me, why is it he doesn't hear you? Why is it he doesn't lead you? Why is it that you don't immediately get an answer when you talk with him? That he answers you right back. When Paul said he's above you, he's in you, he's through you, he's nigh unto you, as Paul said. And he's right there all the time to supply all of your needs and to use you all the time. You know what's wrong, folks? The distance that we feel is the carnality. We're so carnal. We're so gullible to the things of the world. We're so intellectual, even in our religious stride of reasoning things out. So self-esteem, so overconfident, so prone to lean on the social securities of life rather than trust in God. See, until God is so far away from us, and we have put him far away from us because of our carnal resistance, our carnality as to being in enmity with God and allowing Satan, the unclean one, to be there through that natural mind to put a distance between us and that wonderful spirit of holiness. Folks, he's real. He's so close by. He's so willing. All it takes is just the love of God. All it takes is the willingness of God. All it takes is trying to understand and submit yourself to God. The Bible said, submit yourself unto the Lord, under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due season. And don't exalt yourself, because in the end you'll find yourself lacking and be abased. But he that God exalteth, he'll never fall. He'll never fall. Let's sing another little chorus together, can we? Standing somewhere in the shadow, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Sing it right. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. Sing that with me. Shadow, or lengthening back. Come home, come home, midsummer. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down that old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother that set of sun. Can you sing that with me? Come home, come home, midsummer time. Shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home. Up and close your eyes, and I will pray. I will pray. Praise the Lamb for. While you're singing this, search your hearts, examine yourselves, see if you've been the faith in the latter time. Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with hot iron. See if you're in the Word, as to faith of the hearing of the Word, not blown about by every wind of doctrine. When I asked Brother Jerry from over in Mississippi to come and dismiss us, if he will, I'll be singing this verse one more time. Can you see it with me? And I will praise. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? I will praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Can you sing it, Jerry?